Hello, this is NSF to be safe, and I am going to be reading a little bit more of Calvin Hobbes. Alright, so let's just get right into it, and Hobbes is in real form, and his mom is there, and she says, "Calvin, are you going to take that stuffed tiger to school again?" And Calvin says, "Sure." And she says, "Don't the kids make fun of you?" And Calvin says, "Tommy Chestnut did once, and now nobody does." And the mom says, "Why, what happened to Tommy Chestnut?" Calvin says, "Hobbes ate him." And then Hobbes is now walking beside Calvin in his fantasy form, and he says, "Ugh, and he needed a bath too." So, you know, this one, pretty straightforward. Tommy Chestnut is not a cool kid, and made fun of Calvin. So Calvin, Calvin sicked Hobbes on him, and Hobbes ate him, and not only was Tommy Chestnut kind of a jerk, he was, probably like that kid from the Snoopy comics, you know, who had all the stink lines around him, Big Ben. Chestnut. Now, the one thing that I think is kind of odd is, you would have thought that if a child was to go missing from say, an elementary school, there would have been more of a fuss, and Calvin's mom would have heard about this, so, I don't know, she probably should. Tommy Chestnut should probably be on like some milk cartons or something. If Hobbes actually ate him, so you know, I don't know if this is in Calvin's head or not, but I don't know. I think we've overanalyzed this one. Let's go on. Okay. So in this next one, Calvin's father is he's yelling. Going into Calvin's room, it's nighttime, and he's yelling. He says, "Calvin, what's all this noise? You're supposed to be asleep." And Calvin is in bed in his pajamas. He's got a bat, and he says, "Monsters under the bed, Dad. I was whacking one with my baseball bat." And Calvin's father reaches under the bed and picks up Hobbes, and he says, "Goodness, Calvin, it's just your stuffed tiger. You should put your toys away." And Calvin says, "Sorry, old buddy. Good thing I missed occasionally, huh?" And Hobbes says, "Yeah, let me see your bat a minute." So the joke here, which kind of dark, is that Hobbes is going to Calvin has already beaten Hobbes with his bat quite thoroughly, only missing occasionally, and Hobbes has, you know, he's got a little smile on his face, and he's got a little twinkle in his eye, but it's obvious, I think, that he's got bloodlust, wanting his revenge, he will be taking that bat from his buddy and probably bludgeoning Calvin in his sleep. All right, here we go. Dark turn for the beginning of this. Let's see if the next comic is a little bit lighter. Oh, I can already tell the plot. Okay, all right. So Calvin is playing with some cars, and he says, "Here comes the sports car at 200 miles per hour." And on the next panel, he's got another car coming in. He says, "Here comes the cement truck. Look out!" And then in the next panel, it says, "I'm sorry." And in the next panel, it says, "Here comes some inflammable chemical truck. Oh no!" And then the last panel, he says, "This ought to be good." Now again, kind of dark. Calvin, little munchkin that he is expecting, I think, that there's gonna be kind of like almost like a. Comes back and is in one of the Michael Bay. Oh, I don't know if I did it. Okay. Michael Bay. I'm thinking this is a Michael Bay movie in the making. The sports car and the cement truck and the inflammable chemical truck coming all together. And Calvin just knows that inflammable means flammable, just in case you're not aware of that, and that will mean, actually, I don't, because I would think the cement would probably put out any flames. The cement would probably stop a lot of this from being a bad situation, probably just make it all smushy and gushy. And, well, anyways, okay, let's go on. Calvin, nonetheless, thinks that violence will probably happen. He's got a little evil grin on his face. Okay, next comic. In the first comic, in the first panel, Calvin is digging, and there's sound effects that are going dig dig, and then he's patting some ground, and it says pat pat, and the next panel is his mom is yelling. She says, "Calvin, what are you doing to our yard?" And Calvin says, "Making speed bumps." And his mom has done a face palm thing like Patrick Stewart in that meme. She's face palming, and I'm assuming there's a plane flying overhead. I hope you don't hear that, because it might disturb your sleep. Calvin's making speed bumps in their yard. Yeah, I don't know. That one's pretty self-explanatory. The joke, if we really want to stretch for it, is that speed bumps probably don't go in yards, and there wouldn't be a use for them. So Calvin is just tearing up the yard for no good reason. He's a little mischief maker, so we kind of expect that from him on the regular. All right, let's go. So in this next comment, says, Pittsburgh. And then Calvin asks, you mean if we're good or if we're bad? And so I think the joke here is that, first of all, it's a very, very serious, deep question as to where we go when we die. And obviously, through years of prayer and soul searching and just, walking the path of life, Hobbes has discovered the secret, which is Pittsburgh. The city of Pittsburgh. And, it might be a shock to a lot of us that that's where we end up when all is said and done at the end of the day. When we shuffle off this mortal coil, that Pittsburgh is where we end up. But Hobbes has figured it out, of course. Now, Calvin also brings up a good question, which is, he wants to know, does it mean if we are good or if we're bad, do we go to Pittsburgh? And that's a good question. I've actually never been to Pittsburgh, so I don't know if it's a good city or not. I'm just gonna assume it's a bad city and say that Pittsburgh is like the hell of cities in the afterlife. If you're from Pittsburgh and that offends you, I'm sorry. I know nothing of your city, and I have just flippantly disparaged it as possibly the worst place in the universe. So sorry. Okay, let's move on. In this next comic, Calvin and Hobbes are searching. Calvin's got a little safari hat on, and they're in looks like grassy grass. And Hobbes says, "We're lost again." And Calvin says, "Ha! We're brave explorers. The word lost isn't even in our vocabulary." And Hobbes says, "How about the word mommy?" And then in the last panel, Calvin and Hobbes are both shouting, "Mommy!" So the joke here is that Calvin and Hobbes have gotten lost, and they miss their mommy. And that's not really a joke. We all get lost sometimes, and we all miss our mommy sometimes. And you know what, listener? You should probably give your mommy a call right now. Unless it's like, unless you're using this to fall asleep and it's like 12 o'clock or something. In which case, your mom might not enjoy a phone call. Especially if you just said to her that some weird guy on the internet told me to call my mom. And that's why I'm calling you at 3 in the morning. But, maybe call her tomorrow and say, hey. So had a little mishap with an alarm. Had a little mishap with an alarm going off. If there's any sort of weird cut or edit there, can't everything be perfect? But there, our fortress is completely indestructible. And Hobbs is reading the newspaper. Sunny and warmer today, higher in the upper 30s. As Calvin's getting a little angry, so Calvin knows that the heat will bring it to his snow fort and probably bring it down. So, as we get into the comic, Calvin's in his fort, and he yells out, "Our snow fort is impenetrable. The slightest provocation will let loose a merciless barrage of stinging ice. None dare attack us. We rule all together. Of defiance, we stand immune to any onslaught. We are invincible. And he turns around and he sees Cal that Hobbs has a big old grin on his face. And in the final panel, Hobbs just throws a snowball right at Calvin, right in the face, and it's got the sound of Piff. And so, the joke here is that Calvin has been, he's warded off every angle. You know, he's fenced himself in. He is tactically sound. And that no one will be able to impregnate his fortress except from the inside. He didn't pay attention to that, and that is probably one of Sun Tzu's art of war type things. Let's just say it is. You know, you gotta defend yourself from the inside attack as well as the outside. Make sure that your own house is clean of enemies. Doesn't matter how thick the walls are that you put up around you, if you got a little Hobbs inside you snowball right in your face. Alright, moving on. Calvin here is, he's at the fireplace, and he says, there's, stocking is hung up for Calvin. He says, "Hey, where's the stocking for Hobbs?" And he's yelling, "Where's Santa gonna stick Hobbs' loot if Hobbs doesn't have a stocking?" And then Mom says, okay, I'll make Hobbs a stocking, don't worry. And Calvin says, "Make it big, but not as big as mine." And then the mom turns to the dad, and she's got a look on her face, it's where Hobbs looped, and the dad has a hugely angry look on his face. If you can grab this comic and look at it for yourself, you should probably look at it, because something's up with the dad, and his face is very angry. He says, "Don't look at me, I'm done shopping." Very angry, very angry. I don't think I've ever seen his father so angry as in this. Looks kind of like one of the Muppets. His face. The mom. Oh my gosh. I'm really taking a closer look at the drawings here. Shedding new light on this. The mom looks very desperate, and the dad just looks like Ernie. That's what. Ernie. seems to have a stocking as big as his. That's a little throwaway joke in the third panel, but more to the point is that the parents still have to get a bunch of toys for Calvin's toy tiger. You know, a bunch of loot. Hobbs's loot is can't go missing for Christmas, and the dad is just so angry because the dad, I'm guessing, just doesn't like the consumerism aspect of Christmas, and I get that. That even your toys, your now the toys he's bought his child will have to further get gifts. It's kind of, you know, it's gonna stretch the wallet if every time, you know, he buys Hobbs a little Buzz Lightyear, and then Buzz Lightyear needs a stocking, and then Buzz Lightyear's stocking needs, you know, I mean, eventually, I don't think an economy could sustain itself if we had to buy toys for all. So, in the next comic, Calvin is eagerly waiting Christmas, and it's nighttime. He's in bed, and he's up, and he says, "Are you still awake?" And Hobbs says, "Of course." And Calvin says, "It's midnight, let's go." And they're peering around the corner at the chimney, and Calvin says, "As soon as he drops the bag down, you grab it, and I'll close the flue." Now I guess this one, I'm assuming they're trapping Santa. The flue, I'll close the flue. I'm so sorry. I'm gonna have to Google what that is. I'm guessing it's part of the chimney. You can hear me Googling. Is a duct for smoke and waste gases produced by a fire, a gas heater, a power station, or other fuel burning installation. So I have learned something today. I hope you have too. Learned something from this. Now, what I have learned is what a flue is. FLUE. Some sort of thing with the chimney. I forgot already. duct for smoke and waste gases. So the plan is Santa pops down, Calvin closes the flue, trapping him, and they get all the goodies. This is December 25th, 1985, Christmas 1985. Calvin in the first panel is looking very, very, very sad. He's got an innocent look on his face. He says, "Hobbs, I forgot to get you a present. I didn't even make you a card. I'm sorry, Hobbs. I didn't mean to forget." And Hobbs says, "It's okay, little buddy. I didn't get you anything either." And then he pulls him in close and he says, "But here's a tiger hug for being my best friend." And then Calvin, who now has tears in his eyes, says, "Not so hard, you big sissy. Missy. You squeeze my tears out. Hump says, Merry Christmas. I don't think there's a joke here. I think this is just a nice old tiger hug. Nice old Calvin and Hump's tiger. And you know what? We don't need a joke for all of them. Sometimes we just need a tiger hug. That's what we're getting for Christmas. The next comic, Calvin Hobbs are, they are, what is the word I'm looking for here? Sledding down the hill into this. How long do you think it is till bedtime? And Hobbs says, oh, 6 or 7 hours, I imagine. Why do you ask? And in the last panel, Calvin and Hobbs, their sled has flown off a cliff, and they are kind of just in midair, about to fall down towards whatever comes. And Calvin says, with any luck, Mom will notice we're missing by then. So the joke here. Again, this is going to be a recurring thing, is Calvin and Hobbs will oftentimes, in their sled or toboggan or Little Red Dragon, will drive it off of some sort of cliff or ravine into oblivion, almost suicidally, which is odd for such a child, but still, to keep doing that. But anyways, they will end. Calvin right now figures that his mom will notice that they're missing. Okay. Sorry. In the that one was very good. That one was not very good. Alright. Going into the next comic, we have probably should have ended it on the Calvin and Hobbs hugging, but I wanna get to my birthday. Alright. the next comic. Calvin is hammering nails into a table, and it's just whap, 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 nailing, and his mom runs in and says, Calvin, what are you doing to the coffee table? And Calvin looks at the table and looks at the nails, and he says, is this some sort of trick question or what? And so the joke here is, Calvin is, he was going along nice and easy, just whacking some nails into a table, as you do, and his mom all of a sudden started questioning what he was doing, which is actually, in my advice, a good thing. Occasionally to step back, ask yourself what you're doing with your life, where's it going, that sort of thing. Calvin here, a normal human being would probably say, I'm just whacking nails into a coffee table. This might be fun, but it's not really doing anything. But Calvin, I don't think Calvin's old enough to have this sort of, that level of introspection, so it's on the coffee table. Is this... I don't know. You know, Mom. She doesn't understand. That's what they're going to. He thinks Mom doesn't get it. But, in reality, she might need to maybe have Calvin go to a therapist or something. Okay. Moving on. In the next comic, Calvin is playing with his little dump truck, and Susie is walking by, and she says, "Hey, Calvin, you want to play house?" And Calvin says, "I don't know. How do you play?" And Susie says, "Okay. First you come home from work, then I come home from work." And then Susie says, "And then we'll gripe about our jobs, and we'll argue over whose turn it is to microwave dinner." So, yeah, that's the comic. And, so, Susie has basically, outlined what for some people is very real, you know, trapped in a marriage that doesn't, these are really dark comics, trapped in a relationship that just doesn't work, possibly something she picked up from TV, possibly something she picked up from her own parents, you know. Sounds like Susie's parents probably are not happy with their jobs, so they gripe about them. And sound like microwave dinner is the thing. So, you know, again, maybe a nice reminder to the audience: hey, go home. Cook a meal. Cook a nice meal. If you got a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a kid or whatever, cook a nice meal. Don't gripe about your job. Stop and smell the roses, you know? Because you don't want a house. Playing house shouldn't mean griping and moaning. Playing house should mean, you know, pretending that you're a doctor who has a pill addiction and can't walk and is very sarcastic and just, you know, but very good. That's what playing house should be. It shouldn't be about microwave griping. Okay. Moving on. December 20th. Sunday comic, and Calvin is it's kind of hard to describe. He's like coughing and clutching his stomach and playing dead and making all these gross sounds. And his mom says, "Very grim, Calvin. Still having oatmeal." And Calvin makes a little gurgle. So that's a little mini joke, because Calvin doesn't want oatmeal. And so then Calvin is playing with his food, and his mom says, "Quit playing with your oatmeal and eat it, Calvin." And in the next panel, the oatmeal jumps out of the bowl. Calvin's imagination. stuff at the he's throwing stuff at the oatmeal pile, and one of the sound effects is gook, which is a racial term for Koreans. I don't know why that got past the censors, but okay, it's in there. It's in Gollum Hops. Okay. Anyways, oatmeal everywhere, and she says, "Calvin, quit." Oh no. And then she runs into the room with the father, and she says, "It's your fault we didn't have a sweet little girl. Your stupid chromosome, not mine." And the dad kind of looks around, and he puts his head down into his book and just says, "I just live here." So, looks like the joke here is that mom is really wishing she had daughters at this point, you know. She's blaming it all on that Y chromosome that Calvin's dad supplied. Speaking as a male, I don't think the Y chromosome's that bad. You know, I got some good things from it. I'm not really sure what I don't have that much Y chromosomes, but you know. Anyways. There's probably some girls who splashed oatmeal around too, you know. There's probably some girls out there listening to this right now, and they're saying, like, yeah, I splashed oatmeal all over my mom when I was a kid. So, you know, I really think that the mom's being unfair here. And she probably would have had Calvin was Calvina instead, a little girl. You know, children are just a handful. Okay. Let's move on. So I feel for the dad here. I don't have children of my own, but, you know, sometimes I just want to bury my head in a book and be like, you know, I just live here, you know. I don't do anything. I just work here. Yeah. Alright. December 30th. Calvin is watching TV and says, and Hobbs is reading the newspaper and says, Hobbs says, "It says here that by the age of 6, most children have seen a million murders on television." Calvin says, "I find that very disturbing. It means I've been watching all the wrong channels." Now, the joke here is that Calvin wants more violence in his watching TV. Which, you know, American television is no for having a lot of violence on it. Now, I we're talking 100, you know, over 100,000 murders every year of your life that you've watched on TV, that which would then be, let's divide this a little bit more, let's just say by 300, we're probably talking like 300 or so murders a day. You're watching on TV, and I'm just throwing that. No, actually, you know what? We're getting the calculator out. We're figuring this out. I'm sorry. It's gonna bother me. So, 1 million. Let's say 6 times 365 gives us 2,190 days, roughly. So let's do 1 million. 2,190. Yeah, we're looking at 456.62 murders a day, if I did my math right there. And so that, you know, let's delve further, 24, doing that by 24, talking 19 an hour, that by 60, I don't go that far. I mean, we're talking for the first 6 years of your life. Every hour, on the hour, almost 19 murders you're watching on TV. That seems a little high. I mean, I've watched 24. And Jack Bauer kills a lot of people on 24. But I don't know if he kills even that. Okay, like in the actual, like, yeah, even on 24, even in the hours, because that show takes place in real time, and even he can't even keep up 19 murders an hour. And we're, no, this study. Study somewhere. There's gotta be like maybe one child who's throwing this off, who's watching like all the murders, and it's skewing the results or something. Or maybe Hobbs is a tiger. Tigers usually can't read. He might be making it up. I don't know. I'll have to delve deeper into this later. But we need to get to the next comic, because it's December 31st, 1985, my birthday. And when I say my birthday, I don't just mean that I was born on December 31st, which I was. I mean, I was born on December 31st, 1985. So this comic came out the day that I came out into the world. So let's hope, if it's like a fortune or something, you know, maybe it'll... Whatever it is, hopefully it'll bode well for my existence in this world. Let's see. Alright. Nope. Calvin's got food in front of him, and we know he's a picky eater, so it's probably gonna be one of those comics. One of those picky comic eating comics. Alright, first panel, Calvin saying, "I'm not eating this green stuff, yuck." And his dad whispers to him, "Good idea, Calvin. It's a plate of toxic waste that will turn you into a mutant if you eat it." And Calvin, in the next panel, is just scarfing it down really fast. And the mom says, "There has got to be a better way to make him eat." And Calvin says, "Ah, I can feel it working." So unfortunately, I don't feel like this comic. Actually, it's going one way or the other, making me, it's just kind of a run-of-the-mill comic. It's not making me seem like a great guy. Not making me seem like a bad guy either, I guess. Just kind of middle of the road. Okay, I guess. That was December 31st. So the joke. I can't explain the joke. You know, Calvin doesn't like to eat normally. And his dad, which I had a big problem with when I was younger. I didn't like to eat pretty much anything. So the dad tricked him into eating. This is a tactic that, you parents out there, if there's any parents listening, could use on their kids. Use what's called reverse psychology, and you make them think, "Hey, that food that I don't want to eat, maybe it'll give me mutant powers," and then they'll gobble it down. So, you know, I don't know. Put some food dye